from the twisted realm of science and the darkest pits of reason comes chilling tales of godlessness. Bear witness to the unfathomable terror that is the Good Atheist.
Okay, as the bonus show, this is the, what are we now, the fourth one? I think this has been officially 1 month of bonus shows so far.
I've lost count. We've done so many.
I think it's actually the fourth one, yeah. So this is the fourth bonus show. And I was mentioning before on the other bonus shows that I wanted to do kind of a more participatory kind of thing, trying to get feedback from the fans, just trying to get,
A dialogue,
yeah. Since we're catering to the patrons, to the hardcores, why not have a dialogue? And luckily, just before I was about to record the show, get an email, and it's kind of like the subject of what we're going to talk about today. The email is from Jared Rockwell. And he wrote to me a fairly impassionate letter. He says he's a 17-year-old atheist, and he's a big fan of the show. And he said he claims that his outlook on atheism has been shaped by us. So I never even knew we had that degree of responsibility.
Ooh.
I hope it's like one of those outlooks of saying, I don't believe in nobody. Because even these guys, they sound sometimes smart, they're idiots. I hope that's kind of like the lesson at the end of the day.
Oh, no, trust me, nobody thinks I'm a genius.
Now, it seems as though Jared wanted to have our thoughts, because he wants to create a youth atheist association or something along those lines where he's living.
Yeah.
I think it's in Virginia he was mentioning. So he wanted to get our feedback on that, and you know what, it made me want to talk about kind of in general, because there's probably plenty of other people that listen to the show that feel kind of in the similar way, right? We target a pretty, you know, young demographic. Mm-hmm. So I shouldn't be surprised if there's like people that are well below you know, that 18-year-old explicit thing that is supposed to go into effect, but really like, ooh no, I said the F word, you better make it adult only, oh no. Because, you know, kids have never heard the word fuck, not once.
You hear a 10-year-old using the F word, and he uses it with such gusto because it's new. It's still new. You haven't been using it for 20 years, and you use it with with astonishing candor.
I never even fully, truly realize how often I use it until the person sort of mentions it offhand once in a while, saying like, wow, you swear a lot.
You really do. I notice it most around my family. When my parents are in town, when you say the F word in front of my mom, even in the same sentence, it's the words my mom, I can't say, I just can't say it.
I understand. I've just, you know, I kind of leapt over that whole be careful what you say portion.
You're happy just being filthy?
I just use it as emphasis on things, you know, because the same way that I use my voice to emphasize certain things, I think I also use swear words. So if I say, you better fucking pay attention, son.
I think that's up there in real life, as it would be on computers, people who use the caps lock and lots of exclamation points.
So you're saying I'm a caps lock exclamation point kind of guy? Is this what you're saying about me?
Seems to be.
I don't know if I like that. I prefer to think of myself as just merely the guy who would use really strong emoticons. You know, like, these are bold, ladies and gentlemen. There is more than 13 colors involved in this emoticon. It is bold in your face.
Ooh.
Anyways, because the demographic is so young, you know, we're bound to shape at least some people's opinions of atheism, which is scary in and of itself. I mean, what shape is shapelessness? What are my beliefs on God? Well, they're shapeless. Like, I think how everybody else concept of it should be. As shapeless as possible, saying, well, show me the money. Otherwise, no. No. And I think that, you know, as long as I maintain this sort of shapeless attitude, I think I'm along in the right path, you know? I can't get too hardcore saying, well, of course I know there is no God. I'm not going to get that hardcore because that's just... that's hubris. I don't know that much. And to make that assertion, still, with all the things I keep learning, I mean, I don't know. But I'd like to think that at least I'm not going to lose my, you know, critical senses. Now, with that said, he actually mentioned something that I thought was kind of funny. where he said that he wanted to, I guess the youth atheist movement be beyond kind of the adult age, mm-hmm. are going to be shaped by guys that are different. Like, forget about Dawkins, because he's going to be like, oh, that's grandpappy's old atheist talker. Now he's turned 68. What does this grandpa know? They want in your face and in your grill atheism.
So it's kind of like the atheists that don't know who, say, Dawkins is and don't know who Hitchens is, but they do know every single atheist metal band out there. And they're like, I love them all.
Yep.
That's the next generation right there. Maybe we should look into that. Start talking to some of these youth voices of the atheist movement.
Well, I think it would be interesting. Like, Jared was asking my advice, but I'd like to find out his perspective. Like, I don't know how much of sort of like the youth perspective I get, because I am no longer a youth. That, you know what? There's a part, it's kind of like when icebergs crack and then they just split apart. Well, that's when kind of youth movements are sort of like take off. And I feel like I'm on the edge of one, watching it kind of splinter away. Like, I got a Twitter account today. Like, I'm catching up slower and slower.
Ooh,
yeah, the good atheist has a Twitter now. So adding that in. But yeah, I just felt that it was such strain. I didn't want a Twitter, but I'm like, I know that I need to, but I don't want to. And bam, that was the indication of where that divide's happening for me. It's like, that's right there. Twitter. That was my limit. I'm like, you guys get another version of something, and I'm fucking gone, bro. I'm going to go back to GopherNet, and for me, the internet's going to be DVDs that I mail to different people. Like, I'm just going to go too old school. I'm going to fucking drop a couple generations back.
Yeah, I hear you.
So, yeah, like, I can't stay as connected, because, wow, to be connected now, you need to have no privacy.
I don't even,
zero privacy.
I don't even understand how the forms function works in or the groups thing works in Facebook. So I've been invited to all these atheist group things, and I'm like, I don't know. It doesn't seem like anybody uses anything, and it's.
I seem to just accept group invitations based on the fact that I need to maintain at least some face somewhere. You know, like, I refuse your invitation to Atheists Alliance. It would just seem kind of weird, you know? You're sending a message by the groups and the groups you don't accept. Because, at least in the old school version of Facebook, everybody knew when you joined certain things. So it was kind of like that was the call out. But now, that's not what everybody's looking at. You got to constantly leave comments in order for you to be visible. So it's gone that Twitter route. And I'm just like, I'm not ready to tell you all the time what I'm doing. Because the honest truth is, no one is that interesting. Nobody. Like, I don't care if you are a fireman. Most of the time, it's going to be playing cards.
No, look. Nobody is that interesting, but everybody is that interesting. So therefore, you get everybody together, and you have a feed of interesting people that you follow up on. Then, yeah, it's fun reading the minute by minute. What cool. It's kind of like that whole statistic. And I don't know if this will make sense to you, but this is kind of how it cross mainframes into my brain. Is that whole, you know, every 2 seconds somebody's having sex or whatever like that, and it just makes me happy to know that people are getting their rocks off. It's the same thing with Twitter. Is like every minute or two, you're going to have another cool thing from another cool person. It's just nice knowing that that is out there. And that's kind of the mindset behind Twitter.
That's a lot of sexing going on. I'm pretty sure the numbers are probably higher than that.
Yeah, well, it won't be long before people Twitter more than they fuck. So... !! Caps lock.
You know, there is one thing I wanted to actually... This is not a call to arms, but this is something that I think is pretty inspired, at least from the perspective of Jared, who wrote in, is the fact that here's a guy, 17, he's like, I want to do something. I want to reach out to other atheists. And, you know, people are wondering, why has atheism become more popular? Because people are thinking this way. It is really that simple.
Well, the battle lines have been drawn. Basically, at this point, everybody is getting filtered between one party or the other. So I think
opinions are being shaped. You know, back in the old days where you could say, I don't have an opinion, increasingly you're forced to start to think about the issue because people are coming at you and they're saying, what's your stance on it? And, you know, as much as you would love to be able to say, none of your fucking business, because in the old days it was kind of like that with politics, right? A person would say, who are you voting for? And you say, none of your fucking business. I'm not going to tell you. But
imagine
now it's of critical importance, because now it's saying, well, I don't know if I can, you know, get along with you. Who are you voting for? I mean, it seems sad that we have to do that, but damn it, that's human nature. It's like one person's shoving, you got to shove back. The whole passive, resistance when it comes to opinions, no. Opinions get, obliterated in the savage competition of other opinions. So the honest truth is, you better pick an opinion that's a lot less crazy than what somebody else is postulating. Luckily, the non-belief in God is a pretty uncrazy kind of thing. You really don't need an alliance. With that said, let us form an alliance.
It is the craziest, dullest thing ever.
Yep, the position that we don't know, and therefore it is not very likely that there is a God, is not a popular one, and it's not really that crazy. It doesn't demand a lot of fervor.
The position that science rules above all! Woo! Science! It's the wild man's fucking... Yeah.
Yeah, that's their, yeah, science! Somebody's yelling in the back, science! And you know that the guy who yells science, everyone's saying... That was not necessary. Because everybody's like, look, can we take the business of science seriously? I appreciate the fact that scientists have one day where they party. Nope. That's the Ig Nobels, man. They party at the Ig Nobel. That's them saying, science! That's it.
But check this out. I just want to put this out there. If atheism ever takes like a nosedive, like the same way, say, imagine some atheist guy goes and kills a whole bunch of religious people, and that's the end of atheism. Atheism is now a dirty word up there with communism. Yeah. I would jump over to being a science person. I would advocate science. That if you want to know what the disguise for atheism is to get everywhere, it is science. Science is what's allowed us to push this far forward. We just kind of sneak behind science.
Well, I think that to some degree, if I was to postulate anything, it's that inevitably any person or any group that does science will inevitably ask the question of whether or not a God exists, because for the most part, the people that have a religious belief are those that kind of have that whole black box idea of the universe. It's very mysterious. I don't know what the fuck it is, but somebody must have put it there. Otherwise, why do things work? Why does gravity hold me down? Why does water turn to ice? This must be God's. But the more you probe into it, the more you're like, oh no, these are just natural laws, and they don't require anyone there to make sure that they're working. They're just predictable laws. Inevitably, you're going to ask yourself the question, well, is there really a God? And anybody wonders why do the religious hate science? Because all the same questions keep popping up every time a kid opens a science book. They're like, well, why do we need God? That's the first question every kid asks in science class. Once they figure out the very basics, they're like, well, where does God fit in all this? And the religious people are scared to death of that question because, of course, they don't have the answer. The answer is, that's their answer. So science is very scary to these people. I mean, speaking of science, I wanted to talk about the Texas School Board.
But we can't move on. We haven't said anything about youth atheist leagues.
Well, can we come back to it later?
Sure.
All right. I want to talk about the Texas School Board right now because I'm on this tangent. And basically I wrote, there was a live blogging site that basically was, you could view what was going on minute by minute, which is kind of cool. And it looks like the motion to try to add the creationist literature was killed. Well, it was killed only because it couldn't reach a consensus. It was a tie. So they were like, well, we can't, it's a tie is null, and therefore it's defeated.
And how many votes is that?
There were 14 people, so it was 7-7. That's how I was divided. Yeah. And so therefore, technically, it was defeated. I mean, defeated. Talk about, like, edge of a knife. Kind of a thing. Anyways, but that's the battle's not done, because this is the same day this woman proposed an amendment that would allow the teachers to talk about the controversy of the age of the universe.
Teach the controversy.
So that's about like the amendment. The motion to vote on the amendment was approved 11-3. So based on those numbers, it's an easy guess to know that it's going to pass through. So. They're fucked.
So wait a second. So let me get this straight. The thing to put evolution back into the textbooks failed.
You mean creationism back in the
yes.
science textbook? That Ooh, failed.
Well, yeah.
Yeah,
sorry,
you got it actually backwards. You're an idiot. But we forgive you. We love you.
But then they added an extra one on right afterwards, just to teach quote unquote teach the controversy, as in not in textbooks.
Well, it's not the controversy of evolution. They focused on the age of the universe question. Mm. So now they want to go to that so that they can apparently, again, say, well, there's some debate as to the age of the universe. Now, the debate is whether or not it's off by 500 million years, you know, kind of a thing. Like, there's a give or take, maybe a max of a billion, but everybody's focused on the 13.5. Maybe it's an approximation. You know what? Do you need the precise day? Do you want the day on the calendar that the universe started? I mean, that doesn't even make any sense, okay? It's like, that does not make any sense. So, we basically have an approximation, but they'd like to take that and say, well, it's between 13.5 and 6,000 years. I'm sorry, what? 6,000 years? No, no. So, that's going to pass through, so who knows what's going to happen from that point, because, you know, it's the shitstorm's going to start, you know? You're going to have one side, you know, the ACLU is going to go nuts, and everybody in Texas that's not crazy is going to go nuts, and all the other, you know, backwards motherfuckers are going to rally with each other and say, this is a free intellectual freedom thing, and then back to the courts. I mean, why do they get... There was not one person who was a professional, like anybody with a PhD that was on that board to decide what kids learn. I mean, is this just me, or that's the first thing you ask? What is your education? I'm sorry? You do drywalling?
You're Billy's mom?
You do drywalling? Okay. All right, we'll think about it, and goodbye. It's that whole system, that whole idea is so inherently flawed. I mean, don't even get me started. You have the stupidest people with the most amount of time deciding what's in textbooks. Like, these are dangerous people. You know, the smart people, they're usually busy doing stuff.
Doing really awesome stuff.
Doing really cool stuff. But no, apparently these guys are busy doing, I don't know what else, undermining science, I guess. We got undermined science today. All right, talk about our talk about lies. Yeah, that's my segue. Talk lies. About lies.
That was a segue fail.
That was a bit of a segue fail. I'm going to edit that out.
That was a bigger fail than the segue itself.
All right, talking about debunking scientific fact. Let's talk about the Pope and how the Lancet, which is a medical journal, basically just tore Pope Ratzinger a new asshole because of his statements that condoms were not only not effective at preventing AIDS, but they were also would make the problem worse. So the Lancet basically said no, and it is a tragedy that any person like that would even make that statement. They're basically trying their best to kind of bitch slap the Pope.
To shame him.
To shame him, to really shame him. And I mean, I know why they're doing it now, because even in the Vatican, high-ranking officials were still saying, we gotta just change on this condom issue, man. It is literally killing our constituents. Like, even they must realize that dying Christians doesn't mean more soldiers in heaven for them. They need them on the ground.
Oh, yeah, and you gotta figure a lot of these guys spend time in Africa. I mean, we rag on them a lot for living in, literally, in their ivory towers.
No, but ivory, if you're cheap. They have ivory bathrooms. They have gold fucking houses.
Yeah. So, but, you know, a decent amount of them have gone over to Africa and probably, you know, had some boots-on-the-ground experience seeing entire villages dying of AIDS. So you got to figure that there's probably a pretty big debate raging inside the organization. I'm just a bit worried that the people up at the top that make all of the decisions, I don't think they leave.
No, they don't leave. Well, the Pope only leaves when he dies. There's a whole ceremony that includes smashing his ring. He's got this crazy ring.
Yeah, he's allowed to.
That's
go.
Like the ring of power, by the way. Mm. That ring. Yeah. That's why they have to smash it, because nobody else can maintain that ring. It's like Lord of the Rings, for God's sake.
Yeah, but he goes out. He tours.
Oh yeah. Well, I mean, didn't I tell you how insulated this guy is? I mean, he makes Ted Kaczynski look like you know, Meryl Streep.
Is Meryl Streep an especially social celebrity?
No, she's just the first person I thought about for no known reason.
That's such a random thing to think of.
Whatever.
What has Meryl Streep done recently? Why is she in your brain? Why did your brain grab
Why
that?
Why you got to focus on that? Because I thought it was all good.
I'm just interested in knowing.
No, there's nothing really going on there.
Tell
beyond.
Me one interesting thing about Meryl Streep.
Nothing. I have no knowledge of Meryl Streep beyond the fact that she's famous.
Okay.
But yes, that's I'm talking that degree of I don't talk to anyone except my own head. So, wow, hey, Ratzinger, tell us more about how condoms make AIDS worse. I really want to know what your training is. Yeah. Well, you know, who knows what you can learn in Nazi youth camp? I mean, there's plenty of information at those places.
Well, here's the whole thing. He's probably... Tell me if this sounds about right. Is he saying that if Africans have condoms, they'll fuck even more and therefore catch AIDS?
That's pretty much what he says. This... Like, 'cause it increases promiscuity. And I said, have you ever put on a condom? Huh? That does not increase promiscuity. It makes you very calculated about when you have sex.
Yeah.
You have sex at least three times less a week as often as you would if you'd never need to put one of those Jimmy hats on. Because then you'd just be like, all right, I'm just going to whip it out. Whip it out and get her done.
Because they're a pain in the ass, and let's be honest here, they really do suck. I mean, here's the thing. I will advocate the use of condoms, but I will not like it.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to be frowning the entire time, but, you know, I mean, at least when I'm 80, my dick will look like brand new. It's been wrapped in plastic so much.
You know what it's like? It's like, here, go to the movies, but wrap your head in fucking saran wrap 50 times and see how enjoyable that is. It's like, yeah, the movies were pretty good, but they weren't as awesome as if I didn't have fucking, like, several plastic bags over my eyes.
Stop rubbing in the fact that by putting a condom on your dick, you're basically fucking someone with a plastic bag on it. Let's not put that negative image out there. We have a youth demographic out here who need to put that on because, you know, your other choices. Wow, sure, hey, that felt good. So does heroin, dog. And that doesn't mean you should do it. Doesn't mean you should do it. Hey, guess what? All the more reason for you to find some girl who is on the pill, who you both go to the doctor, you check out, and then you can have all the fun you want. Nobody said you had to lose all your fun, but you just can't be like, hey, baby, come back to my house, Jimmy. Forget about it. Yeah,
those days are over.
Yep.
Again, we're getting the jip.
That's because of all those 70s whores that used to just kind of do it. I mean, men and women whores, all right? But what's the man version of
whore? Whore? They're just man whores.
Yeah, I just call it a moor.
Yeah. Mahor.
Mahor.
It's kind of like a s'more, but male whore.
It's mahor. There was plenty of mahors. Now you got to pay for the price. But I just find it, you know... if he at least would have just said, well, we don't advocate it, I mean, I'd still be pissed. But to turn around, blatantly lying, of saying it only increases it, I mean, some guy in Africa hears, oh, well, the Pope says it makes it more dangerous. He's going to believe you, man, because you're the Pope. He has got no reason not to believe you, which is scary for so many different reasons, but we don't have to talk about that right now. That's left for another day. Also, talking about crazy Christians, did you hear or did you read what I put on the site concerning the Archbishop of Canterbury, who was basically telling his constituents, thank you, that God's not going to save us from environmental disasters, so we got to do it ourselves. You know, he just came out and said that. It was necessary. Now, I can appreciate anybody who goes out and says that. Awesome. I dig it. But at the same time, I mean, look at these guys. They've made their entire lives out of telling people that God loves them and he's going to bring them up to rapture and it's going to be all good and there's nothing to worry about. And you turn around and say, oh, there's plenty to worry about. God's not going to fucking fix this mess. They turn around and say, well, didn't God put these animals on here on earth for us? It says so right there, Genesis. It's all for me. They're delicious, and I should eat all of them. Oil is what God gave me so I can drive my car. I mean, this is seriously how people think. So to turn around and say, well, all those things that I told you, you have to interpret them exactly the way that I want you to. Well, you can't, all right? People are going to take some freedoms with it, and their freedoms are probably going to be like, I don't need to help the environment. Fuck you. God loves me. And if I die and it's a polluted hell, who cares? I'm going up to heaven too. Unfortunately, your Bible doesn't have a section that says, you know, you need to take care of the environment. That would have been a good, probably, foresight, but you know what? It's written by Bronze Age guys. Environmentalism, not in their minds. They weren't thinking about environmentalism back then.
If they realized that we could destroy the earth, they would probably be like, awesome.
Yeah, they'd probably be like, I want one of those nukes. Because I want to destroy Jericho. What would have been the difference? I mean, basically, they slaughtered every person in Jericho, so they might as well have nuked them.
Oh, absolutely.
So it would have actually been more merciful to nuke Jericho. So, yeah, that's plenty of... they would have handled those weapons real good. Real fucking good. Okay, I wanted to go back, actually, before we wrap things up, I wanted to talk a bit more about people setting up their groups. So we're coming back to it. We're coming back to what?
Like it's in right now?
Yeah, Jared. We're talking about all right, Jared, yeah. Jared and his emails. Awesome. We're back to
and
that.
And we're here.
And we're back. Okay, what I wanted to sort of put out there for people is basically the incentive to do something similar. I think that this is really fucking cool. I mean, Jared's feeling inspired. He wants to reach out to other people. That's exactly what we need, because there's a lot of people out there that are fed up, sick and tired of having to, you know, placate everyone who said, oh, do you believe in God? And they're like, oh, yeah, I love him too. Yay. But you don't mean it, and you hate it, because in a sense, I think it divides you from people. You know, when a person tries to share with you the love of God and you just don't have it, you want to share with them the joy that you have living in a world without God. That kind of presents a bit of a impasse. You know, you can't relate to people on that degree. I like to relate to individuals about how great it feels to live in a universe without God, because I don't have to worry about this motherfucker sending me to hell. I mean, that's a great thing, you know? Just that I am responsible for my actions, that I can encourage people to be better, and I don't have to rely on some negative incentive to do so. I mean, the fact that the universe just works and it doesn't need to have an operator, these are wonderful things. But if you don't have anyone to communicate that with you, you'll never really appreciate that level. You'll just always remain one of those people that are just, I don't believe in God, but there's no real appreciation for that. You never got to explore that, and you can't do it alone. So reach out and try to find other people like you. Have conversations about a universe without God. You know, develop that view of the universe, because I'll tell you something, it is amazing. It is fascinating to really have that in your mind, to let those possibilities swirl around in there of a universe without God. It's a pretty sweet thing. You're thinking about it right now as I'm saying it.
Maybe.
You can't help it. It's that vivid imagery. So that's my call out to people, saying, like, if you have an idea, if you want to start a group, reach out there. If you want my advice, I mean, I'm more than happy to give it. I'm not an expert when it comes to that. I'm sure I could put you, this is what I'm going to suggest to Jared, at least, see if I can put him in touch with people that already have their own organizations and say, what's the first step? You know, how do you create your own microorganism that works well and that's designed intelligently? And if there is no such thing, well, I guess I better sit down and design some.
Hope it doesn't go all Lord of the Flies on us.
Well, I figure if you have a group, all right, here's my suggestion. If you have a group, base it on a couple fundamental principles. The first principle...
The leader has sex with all.
I would probably love that, but no, I'm saying not that one. Don't do that one. The first principle I think everybody should have is you have to have a sense of humor about the whole thing. Because at the end of the day, you can't take yourself that seriously. It is literally a group where you talk about something you don't believe. That's just insane to me, and I think it should remain as hilarious as it seems. And, you know, a person could accuse you of saying, hey, well, you're just like a church. We don't take ourselves seriously. We just sit down and have conversations and enjoy each other's company. So that's the first rule.
And laugh at other churches.
Yeah, and laugh at other churches. That's the whole thing. You laugh. You start with a joke. You end with a joke. This is a joke. I think that's the safest first principle any group can have. Keep it funny. You know what I mean? Don't take yourself too seriously. And another thing, I mean, if you're going to have a group, I think the most important thing is make sure that it's kind of a democracy, you know? Don't make it saying, I'm the leader of this group. Try not to do that. That's a bad idea. That's what religion does.
At the same time, don't be all like, everybody's a cat and everybody's a cat trying to herd cats.
Oh, yeah.
That saying
Well, you know what? One of the things that people do in anarchistic communes is basically everybody is equally involved, but they always sort of like, they rotate between the person who's, you know, presiding. You can choose not to. So if you don't think you do a good job, say no. But, you know, everybody gets a chance at the captain's wheel. And it's kind of an interesting dynamic, you know, because it's not a hierarchy. So one day the captain steering the boat is not going to make you capsize it, all right? It's just basically that you are an arbiter for, you know, people's discussion about what to do. It's kind of like the tiebreaker.
Anyways, by the time anybody's having leadership issues, that's way down.
Oh, yeah, that's way down. I mean, besides, why should there be leadership issues? Principle number one is simple. Have some fun. If it's no longer fun, dissolve immediately. That's my best advice. If it stops being fun, dissolve, because it's a failure. This is not a job, okay?
Abort.
Abort. You should have an abort button in your clubhouse. if you want to make it a couple hours. Abort button. When you press it, everybody just gets the fuck out. I say it should be a clubhouse, you know? Serve alcohol or, you know...
That would be awesome, an atheist smokehouse where everybody yeah. goes, gets very drunk, and listens to jazz music.
No, they do beat poetry kind of thing, except for it's not poetry. It's just somebody talking. Well, they don't really have a person just sits down and has a conversation. Do they? They usually do those one-man shows things, but those are terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hate one-man shows. They're like, I was born in this town of... Who gives a shit? You're not interesting. Fired. Boo! Anyways, my suggestion, start some clubhouses. Do you like it?
I do.
I wish we had the ability to start a clubhouse, but we couldn't even show up to the clubhouse. We're homebound. I can't afford to have constant outings to the atheist clubhouse. But I would if I could.
Yep.
I would if I could.
You're pretty awesome.